Let's pray. Like that first verse, Lord, that's hymn we just sang, visit us with thy salvation. Thanks for visiting us every single day, for walking with us, for never ever letting us go. We're grateful. Help us to continue to serve others with your love, the love which is for all people. Speaking of service, how about for those who serve in a formal way? You know, those police and firefighters, EMS folks, our troops, and their families. You know, those folks that deal with all sorts of stuff. As we leave here today, Lord, help us to carry the message of your love to all people. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. So, not a show of hands, but who's liking this focus we've had on Acts this summer? Good. I have too. It's been fun. I don't normally read the book of Acts because it's a little longer than I like. I'm a Mark guy because Mark is short and sweet, a lot of action. Story of Acts today is from the 10th chapter of Acts. You may want to read the whole chapter because we only got about 45 minutes for the sermon. We can't get through the whole deal. Just kidding. Last week, Pastor Rudd, if you remember that beautiful sermon, by the way, people are still talking about you behind your back, just saying. He talked about Dorcas, you know, how Peter raises with the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit and with God, raises Dorcas from the dead, right? Great sermon, cool story. Now we're in the 10th chapter, so some background. Pete is one of the original disciples, right? He's led by the Holy Spirit to bring the message of Christ's love to the first Gentile family listed in the Bible. Kind of a big deal. First Gentile family. Who is the leader of that family? A guy named Cornelius. Not Pastor Cornelius, but Pastor Cornelius. Right? What is Cornelius' job? He's a centurion. He's an officer in the Roman army, the oppressive, occupying army of Israel. They're trying to squash the rebellion that continues to go on. You remember the Romans? Those are the guys who perfected the crucifixion. They got it from the Persians. They perfected. Great crowd control. You hang a bunch of dead people up on the roads as you're coming into town saying, these Romans are strict. These are the guys who executed Jesus, these Romans. Pete had just come from Simon the Tanner's house. Why is that listed in the Bible? I don't know, but I think it's significant because a tanner is involved in what? Touching dead animals. They take the hide and make leather out of it. Now, according to Jewish law, it's an unclean thing to do. So Peter is staying in an unclean person's house against those religious laws and traditions. Pete is already starting to break down some of the prejudices of his own that he has against people and customs that don't adhere to religious tradition. So Cornelius sends three guys to go pick up Pete to bring him to Capernaum. He's in Joppa. It's about a 20-mile hike down the coast of the Mediterranean. Now, if you're Pete, what's going through your mind? Three Roman soldiers show up at your door. I mean, we all love police officers, but can you imagine three armed guards showing up at your door? These are the guys who we think Peter witnessed the death of Jesus, and here are these Romans, the guys who murdered his best friend. They show up at his door. What's going through that poor guy's mind? What does Pete do? Well, of course, he invites him in to stay the night. What? What kind of guy does that to the people who just murdered his best friend? They spend the night, then they take their 20-mile hike up to Capernaum along the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, and he goes, and here's another religious no-no. He goes and visits Cornelius in his house. You don't do that kind of stuff if you're a devout religious person. Cool part of the story for me, it's a great story of enemies getting along. Wouldn't that be nice? It's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do for us and through us. It's another one of those, God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. So a couple of questions came into my mind. These are not going to be on the final. You don't have to answer them. But here are the questions that came through my little brain. Do you think we have expectations of who is in and who's out? Who gets to be the recipient of Jesus' love? Do you have that? Second question. Do we think the message of the gospel of God's love for humankind is just for certain people? That people have to do things our way? Well, the gospel that Pastor Rudd read, say that five times real fast, Rudd, that he read is Jesus talking in the 10th chapter of John. So you get the 10th chapter of Acts, 10th chapter of John. I don't know if it's coincidence or what. He makes a statement about other sheep that don't belong to this fold. Does that mean there's going to be non-Lutheran, non-Norwegians part of the deal? Let's hope so. He makes clear, and a few chapters later in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, and when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. Being lifted up, of course, refers to Christ's death and resurrection. And what happens through Christ's death? He will draw everyone to himself, he says. Who's everyone? Look in the mirror. You're everyone. And so are those other people that we don't always like. On the cusp of heresy, I know. Christ's death was for all people, Jesus said. Jews and Gentiles. He's going to draw them all to himself. So, let's not be sheepish about who the other sheep are. There's no longer gates in the new covenant in heaven, right? All people, Jew and Gentile, are welcomed in. Jesus calls himself, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. Magnificent. Can you imagine anything more loving than to lay down your life for your sheep? Christ's love, he lays his life down for the sheep, for them. He lays down his life for us. Someone said it this way, kind of like it. He said, as long as we can call people common or unfit, we can go our separate ways. You see, labels relieve us of responsibility. Pigeonholing permits us to wash our hands and then leave. Examples, oh, I know John. John's an alcoholic. Translation, why can't he just control himself? Oh, I know her. She's divorced. Translation, she's got a lot of baggage. Categorizing others creates distance and gives us a convenient exit strategy for avoiding involvement. He continues, Jesus took an entirely different approach. He was all about including people, not excluding them. The Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood, it says in John 1. Jesus touched lepers, loved foreigners, spent too much time with partygoers that people called him what in Matthew 11? A lush and a friend of riffraff. His Facebook account would include the likes of Zacchaeus and the Ponzi Meister and Matthew, the IRS agent. and some floozy he met at Simon Peter's house. Jesus spent 33 years walking in the mess of this world. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think of himself that way. He had to cling, didn't want to cling on to the advantage of that status, no matter what. No, not at all. When the time came, he set aside his privileges and took the status of a slave and became human. His example sends a message to us. Don't call anyone unfit. I have other sheep, not of this fold, he says. We might be surprised who we see in heaven. So we're here to carry the message of Christ's love into the world. How about we do that today? God bless you. Great to be with you. Please stand and sing our closing hymn.